It's so always a pleasure and a blessing for me to share and to be here this morning. The last 2 weeks, Greg has been sharing on image bearers. And it's just, if you've missed any of that, I would really encourage you that you can go onto our website. You can just have a look at catching up on those. He says he's got another one, but that means four. So just don't miss out on that, because you know what? It's fundamentally to know that you and I, going back to Genesis 1 verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds over the heaven, of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female." Every single one of us are created in that image. And God wants us to be that image bearer, that you and I can go and present that image to our workplace. Go and present that image to our friends and our families that doesn't know him. Friends, you and I are walking into a place that's dark, but when you and I go in there, we carry the light with us. The Bible says, where there's light, the darkness cannot comprehend it. So when you and I, with God, with that image, go into that dark place, the lights switch on. People's eyes will open up. Why? Because we are showing them something different. And on that, I'm just piggybacking on something that I just want to relate to that. And the title of the message is Psalm 51, Shape a Genesis Week from the Chaos of My Life. So just bear with me, because I'm going to go into that, and you will see where I'm going with that. 2 Samuel 11 and 12. I'm going to give you the DJ translation. Okay, so it's a very interesting translation. You'll enjoy it, don't worry. We have King David here. The Bible says it was springtime. Springtime used to be the time that the kings will go out, fight their battles, and advance their kingdom. So I don't know if there was like a message that goes out, okay guys, springtime, let's go fight. I'm not sure how it works, but the word says that specific time they would go out. But the word says David stayed behind. He sent his generals and his troops out to go and fight. He stayed behind. Now I don't know if his PVR was full of desperate housewives, suits, lethal weapon, I don't know what he was watching. But he probably thought, you know what, I'm just going to stay at home and relax a bit. That's what he feels. Why I'm saying that is, if you read further on, the Bible says later that afternoon, David got up from the couch. What do you do when you're on the couch? You watch TV. So I'm convinced David was like going through Desperate Housewives, going through your channel here, and it's like, yes, I'm a bit tired now. This is like, my eyes are square. My wife is like that. She loves watching TV, and because it just helps her relax. After the second season of anything, I'm like, I can't anymore. I can't do this. So I can relate with David. But he then goes and go and walk on the roof. Now, like I always say, sometimes I read the Bible very literally. I'm like, but that's what I do. If I can't sleep, I climb out my window and I can sit on the roof like a pigeon. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I do, because that's what David did, you know. We climb up the roof, we go sit, have a relaxed time, think we're Batman or whatever. I understand the roofs were flat. He was walking on the roof. As he was just carrying on walking, out of the corner of his eyes, the Bible says, David describes, he sees a beautiful woman. Now, she wasn't just sitting there, she was actually having a bath. So again, she forgot that last minute shopping at Mr. Price's home. There was no curtains, no blinds. Have ever of you gone to these fancy places where the showers are outside? These like safari camps. Have you been to those? It looks like meerkats that showers. Everybody's like, I hate those things, eh? Yes, you like. Look, if you've got a six pack like mine, it's different. It is, you know, but I hate those things. Yes, like it. Who wants to shower and everybody like, how's it? Good morning. Like, you don't know what you must cover and not cover. Like, how's it? So she was pretty much having that experience, having a bath. David looks at this. He describes her as a beautiful woman. He says, okay, and he sends his servants to go and fetch that woman. The Don Juan de Marco that David is, he skips the coffee break. He skips the movie date. He skips the introduction to the mom-in-law, and he goes straight to the PG version into the action. I'm not going to go even to that. David messes up. You and I read that the word says we are created in God's image in His likeness. We are presenting God. David was presenting God, but when this happened, all of a sudden he distorted, he broke down that image that he was created in. He messed up. After a while, Bathsheba sends word to David and says, well, David, I'm pregnant. He probably goes, how did that happen? I'm not sure. That's pretty obvious, David. You messed up. In 2 Samuel 12, the prophet of God, Nathan, I love this guy. He goes to David and he immediately says, David, I've got a story to tell you. Well, David being on his couch watching, like, I love stories. Give it to me. Give it to me. I love this. Nathan said to him, there was two men, very rich man, had lots of sheep, and there was a very poor man. He had one little sheep. And he looked after that little sheep as if it was one of his family members. The word says that they fed the sheep out of their plates. The sheep slept in the house with him. They really looked after this little sheep like it was a baby for them. The rich man had a traveler that came and visit. So he went and he took the poor man's sheep, killed it, and presented to the traveler. The word says David got so angry. I can almost see him jumping up, slamming stuff, getting like, who is this guy? We need to kill him. We need to get rid of him. Nathan said to him, hang on, that's you. You see, previously, David got so far when he got word that she was pregnant, he knew she was married. He said to his generals, you know what? In the next time we go out to fight, put her husband in the front lines. The possibility is he'll get killed very quickly. And that's exactly what happened. Nathan came and he confronted David. Friends, and I just want to press pause there for me and you. I really pray that every single one of us will have a Nathan in our lives that will not be scared to come and address things in our lives that are not right. That will not be scared. You know what? Nathan saw exactly what David was doing. He knew exactly that David commanded for this guy to get killed. He could very possibly say, I'm not going to bring that message. What's going to happen to me? Not a chance. I'm not taking that. I'm not bringing that. But Nathan was not scared for 1 second. He wasn't worried for 1 minute because he had God's word in his heart. And he went and he confronted David. He says, David, you that man. Friends, I pray that every single one of us will have a Nathan in our lives. And then the opposite. I pray that we will be a Nathan to our friends, to our families, to our moms, to our dads, to our brothers, to our sisters, that we will be that Nathan. That when God tells us to go speak to our friends, that you and I won't go, yes, but what about our friendship? What about that person's life? That you and I can go and say, you know what? That one that you want to say yes to, it's not the right one. That business deal that you want to sign, it's not from God. That house you want to buy at Camps Bay, awesome, nice view, it's not from God. Don't do it. Friends, let's make sure we have Nathans in our lives. And let's make sure we are a Nathan to the friends around us. That we will not be worried to, you know what? You won't lose that friendship. I'm telling you now. You'll gain more friends. That says I can trust that person. Because they're looking out for my interest. They're loving me. They're looking after it. Friends, let's be that Nathan. Let's be that person in their lives. David, get to that point. And he realized, yes, I have messed up. I have sinned. I have done something horribly in the eyes of God. I've broken down this image that God has created in me. The word sin, interesting word, is the Greek word harmatia. It will be behind me. Just now. There we go. It's the Greek word harmatia. That means missing the mark. Now, in those days, it is an archery term. So what they do is, the archer will take pull back, and as he aims for the bullseye and he releases and he misses the bullseye, the crowd will scream, "Hamartia, you have missed the mark." That's why you and I can look at David's life this morning and we can say, you know what? I did not order to get anybody killed. Well, I hope not. I'm not an assassin. I'm not doing this. I'm not that bad. I'm actually, you know what? My little things I do can't compare to this. Friends, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's not a scale in God's kingdom saying there's 1 to 10, and I've done 3, so I just need to pray 3 times and I'm sorted. It says sin means when I aim at the bullseye and I miss, I hamartia. I miss the mark. I miss the mark. Friends, if God is asking something of you, if you know the way that you need to walk in life, and we are doing little stupid things, that's a nice Greek word, stupid things, you and I are missing the mark. We are missing the mark. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." Who? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When I read that, I almost see when that archer shoots the arrow doesn't go even close to the target. The word says it fell short of the glory of God. Every single one of us here sitting this morning, hamartia, we missed the mark. I love the book of James. It's a challenging book. The brother of Jesus writes this, and it's just so full of challenges for me and you in our everyday walk. But it says this from verse 13. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desires." And it goes further. It says, "Then desires, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is grown up," if it's an adult, "it gives forth death." Friends, can I look at this very quickly? When I started off, David was where when they went fighting? He was at home. Can I say this first thing to you? If David was where he was supposed to be, that would very possibly not happen. Friends, sin comes in our lives when we are not at the place where God wants us to be. When you and I are walking in the path and in the direction and in the place that God has got for us, the Bible says he doesn't tempt us. You and I are in a safe place. You and I are on a journey with him. But David wasn't there. He wasn't in the place and in the time where God wanted him to be. He was out, supposed to be out fighting, but David stayed behind. What happened when he walked on the roof? He got lured away by his own desires. Friends, he looked, he stared, he liked, he went, and he took. Because that desire started creeping up in his life. Friends, and I'm not just talking about one thing. In all our, everything in our lives, small little things. Yes, that BMW is nice. I really like it. I don't have the bucks for it, but that is enough. Yes, maybe I can buy it. My budget doesn't, I think I'm just going to do it because my image, when I have that BMW, I'm going to pull girls like you can't believe it. If I can only have that and we do it, what are we doing? We get lured away by our own evil desires. When that grows up, the Bible says that it produces death. Young men, young women, don't step over that line. The end of your relationship will be death, because it's not from God. Make sure that we stay focused on what God has got for us. We are created in his image, but when we are lured away by our own desires, James says it there so nicely for us, and he gives us handles right there that you and I can say, you know what? Friends, every single one of us know exactly when our mind are starting going sideways. You and I know it. You know in yourself, yes, like it, don't go in that direction. Don't do it. Don't look at those pictures. Don't look at that. Don't go into that. That business deal starts looking all. Friends, go back. Meditate on God's word. Say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Come back to him. Fill yourself up with God's spirit. Say, Lord, I want to be in step, in line, and in tune with what you've got. David didn't do that. David didn't do that. When he saw that woman, everything went out the window, and he started thinking with one thing. And it wasn't his brain. It wasn't his spiritual man saying, stop. He went, I'm going for it. He was like a Ferrari down the straight. Or a McLaren. After Nathan confronted him, he realized, yes, I've missed the mark. I have missed the mark. The intimacy that I had with God, the walk that I had with God, I broke it down. I built a wall around me and God. And he writes for me that's one of the most amazing psalms, Psalm 51. I'm going to read it out of the message. You can follow in your Bible if you want to. It will be behind me. Psalm 51 from 1. Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. The picture that I just get there, scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. Gooi my in my LG wash machine and make me clean. Put me in there, close that lid, wash me, soak me in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You are the one I've violated. And you've seen it all. Friends, isn't it a scary thing that we realize that we talk about the God that's omnipresent? Can I tell you, He's not just there when it goes good. He's not just there when you're blessed. He's there when you miss the mark as well. David says, you know it all. That step we take in the wrong place, He's there with you. He doesn't go, oh, well, I'm out of here. He's with you. He's omnipresent. You're the one I have violated. You've seen it all. Seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time. In the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then. Conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry, and I'll come out clean. Scrub me, and I'll have a snow-white life. Tune me into a foot-tapping song. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray itself. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your way so the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence, God, my salvation, God. Unbutton my lips, dear God. I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives ready for love. Make Zion the place you delight in. Repair Jerusalem's broken walls. Then you'll get real worship from us. Acts of worship, small and large, including all the bulls they have, onto your altar. Out of that, if you give this to a proper scholar, he can give you a course for 6 years. There's so many things in there. I have 4 points that I just want to point out for you. Number one, take responsibility for your sin. Take responsibility for your sin. You remember when Adam messed up, what did he do? Who did he blame? Yeah, Eve. See, all the Eves are keeping quiet now. Adam blamed him, blamed her. He says, hey, Lord, it wasn't me. Look at her. I did not even do that. I'm just standing here and just like grabbing fruit and going, boss. Sir, it's not me. He blamed her immediately. David, when he got confronted, didn't blame, says, Lord, I was just walking on the roof. It wasn't me. Sir, why didn't you pull the windows and the curtains down? I didn't do anything. He never bargained with God. He never said, you know what, Lord, I'm actually such a good king for you. Look at what I've done. Lord, remember that big guy I killed the other day? Remember that? Yes, I was hot then. I was on fire. Look at that. I don't see in this David bargaining with God. I don't see David standing and making plans, making excuses. David took responsibility. He even says, Lord, whatever you decide against me, it's fair. Whatever you decide, it's fair. Friends, when you and I miss the mark, big or small, to restore that image, you and I got to take responsibility. Say, Lord, I've messed up. I'm sorry. Number two, come clean. Don't rationalize, minimize, excuse what you've done. Get real. David lived a life in denial. For a long time, he just carried on until Nathan confronted him. And he realized, just like it, what I've done here is not how I'm supposed to act. He came clean. What if he didn't do? What if he didn't come clean? Psalm 32, verse 2 to 4 says, he writes, how happy is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, David talking, when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from the groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer heat. Friends, am I right when I say that when you and I mess up, we know it. You've got that thing on you. You've got that guilt. You've got that heavy hand resting on you. It feels like you're walking through the desert. It's dry. You're thirsty. You're like, you know what? Maybe you just messed up. You missed the mark. Take responsibility. Come clean. David came clean. He says, Lord, I have sinned against you. It's before you. It's in front of you. You know everything. Number three, ask for and receive God's forgiveness. Tucked into the first expression of David's confession, we read, be gracious to me, O God, blot out my rebellion, wash away my guilt. Like I said, throw me in that LG machine and clean me. Omo me, serve me, aerial me, whatever you must do, do it. I'm sorry. I come before you, Lord. I love this. 1 John 1:9. If you and I, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from unrighteousness. When you and I can come to that place and say, Lord, I've missed the mark. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Friends, I don't know about you, but I know I serve a loving God that died on that cross so that He can forgive my sins. I serve a God that doesn't come and stand here with a whip that's going to hit me every time I mess up. I said in the first service, I sometimes get this image. Now, I know you are good people here. I know that. None of you are ever in the situation where at school your mom and dad got called to the principal. None of you here. But can you, if it was you, I'm not saying it was you, but if it was you, can you remember your mom and dad's face when they came to pick you up? Was it like, yes, my boy. What a lucky day. I'm so glad you messed up today. I'm a delight. Wow. Not a chance. Your dad gives you that look, and your mom is like silently crying. How can my son do that? I've never done anything. I'm just saying that's what it would look like. But you remember that look on your dad's face. Like, in your car, you're already trying to put 2-ply toilet paper in. You're already thinking, how can I cover this up? How can I, because what's coming? Friends, when you and I miss the mark and we come to God, it doesn't look like that at us. He says, I've paid the price. I'm here to set you free. I'm with open arms bringing you back. You're my child and I love you. But His open arms, His invitation is always there. But you and I got to come and say, Lord, I've missed the mark. Please forgive me. The Bible says He is faithful and just. And He will forgive you. But you and I need to take that step. And then the last one. I love this one. Use past failure for future ministry. David says, I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. He says, Lord, where I've messed up, the things I've done wrong, use me so that I can go to that people, seeing the signs, looking what they are doing and saying, you know what, it's not worth it. I've been there. I've got this cast. I've got something what way more better for you. David is saying, God, I want back in the game. I want to be part. I want you to restore this image so that I can go to this world and show them what it's all about. Friends, those things that happened in your life, even after the first service, I had people coming to me and they said, you know what? As you were saying that, there were so many things in their lives. And God just put people on their path that went through the same things that they went through. Drug addictions, abuse. And they start seeing people in their lives that's going through that same thing. Friends, let God use your past as your future ministry. Yes, you and I have messed up. But you know what? God will use things for His purpose. Allow God and say, Lord, I want back in this game. The things that was there, I'm not going back to that. I've turned my back to that. But I can see the signs in people's lives. And Nathan, hey, going to them and say, you know what? This path you're on will lead to destruction and to death. But I've got something far more better for you. Friends, let's not just forgive me and leave it there. Lord, use me. David says, God, I've messed it up, but I'm begging you, use me again. Use me again. And I'm finishing off with this. I don't want to put a heavy on you guys. I love this New Day family so much. I said, Greg always says he's got this nightmare before preaching that he comes here and the church is empty. I don't have nightmares or dreams. I'm just can't sleep for 2 weeks. So trust me, from that chair there to that chair at the top is covered in blessings and prayer. Because I can't sleep. I'm like awake the whole night thinking and wondering, is this right? You know what? I don't want to put a heavy on this family because I love this New Day family so much. So when I'm talking about we missing the mark, it's not putting a heavy on you guys. But it's saying, Lord, I need to get to that place where I take responsibility. I come clean. I ask for forgiveness. Lord, I'm standing back here and I'm asking, use me. Use me. Let's learn from David. He says, I've messed up. I take responsibility. Come clean. Ask and receive God's forgiveness. And let God use you again.